written on the board asking counsel of the Lord. Something the Lord began talking to me about a number of weeks ago. I found myself a couple of weeks ago after the Lord began talking to me about this. Found myself in a place, I remember laying on the bed and waking up and looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. And I don't know what to do. I want to read to you about a man that you're very familiar with. You remember Saul? A man that was raised as a very strict Pharisee. He was highly educated. Very intelligent man. And Saul was someone, if you want to say he was a man with a mission, he was such a man. He had in his mind that the Christians were in opposition to God. And he was fervent in his belief and in his faith that they were violating the Mosaic law, and he was willing to go out and take Christians, put them in prison, put them to death, because he believed he was right. He was convinced in his mind that he was right. Don't we have a lot of folks in this world that think they're right? Do any of us here this morning actually think we're wrong? Saul was someone that was persuaded that he was right. And he was willing to spend his time and his energy in following after that. He had a zeal. He was a man of zeal and fervency for God, but it was misplaced. But I think about how God loved Saul enough that he did not leave Saul in that condition. In the 9th chapter of Acts, as you know the story, in verse 3 it said, he journeyed. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Saul had not accepted that Christ was the Son of God. And in divine revelation, God opened up heaven that Saul could look up and see with his eyes the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the doubts and all of the questions and all of the things that Saul had been kicking against, so to speak, he accepted that Jesus Christ is real, and it changed his zeal. It changed the focus of his life because he was an educated man. He knew the Scripture. He was learned. And now then, when he knew and was persuaded that Christ is the Son of God, everything just fell into place. His life had been, I don't believe Saul was at peace with himself. I don't believe he was comfortable with where he was inside. Folks, it's important for us this morning to examine our life. We can have head knowledge, but head knowledge does not bring peace. And we can kick against it and we can fight against it, but when we will accept it, that this is real and it's right, it can drastically change our life. This is why the Scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. He's a new creation, because all the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. It was because of Christ. Saul was, again, educated, intelligent, zealous, learned. But now when he accepted that Christ was the Son of God, it changed his focus of life. And no more was he a man that was discontent. No more was he having to strive to find fulfillment in life, because when he found Christ, he found what all of our souls yearns for. He trembled and was astonished and said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus." You know, when we accept that fact in our life, it will change the focus of our lives. That this is Jesus. And I take note, this man who was, just let me reiterate it, this was not an ignorant person. A lot of the disciples were ignorant fishermen. This is someone that knew the law. He was educated. He was as strict in his religious observances. But when he saw Jesus, he asked a question. And he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" How long has it been since you've asked the Lord that? How long has it been since we have come and laid down all of our thoughts, all of my preconceived notions, all of my ideas, all of the things I want to do? And folks, there's nothing wrong with having things you want to do. There's nothing wrong with ideas in and of themselves. There's nothing wrong with having dreams and plans. There's nothing wrong with having goals in life. But how long has it been since we've come and openly said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Too many times, even people that love God, we come and we say, "Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Would you bless it?" And we pray about it. "Lord, this is what I'm doing. Would you bless me? Would you give me grace to do this?" Folks, there's a place that we need to come to this morning. We say, "Lord, I open myself in trembling, in fear before God. What do you want me to do?" Sometimes people are afraid to ask that question. Are we afraid to ask God what He wants of us this morning? Are we afraid to lay down what you think about things, to lay down what you want and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" I'm going to come and I'm not going to ask counsel of my friends. I'm not going to ask counsel of people that agree with me. Do you know there are people that preach or shop? You know what that means? They go to a minister, and this happens, and they say, "Now, I have a problem. I'd like some advice." And they tell them what, and the minister gives them advice. "That's not what I want to hear," so they go to another minister. I need some advice. People do that with their pastors a lot. They don't like what their pastor does, so they go to another minister, hoping they'll hear something different. I've been there. I have meetings places. I know how it works. And people go and they want to hear something different. And so until finally they find a minister to tell them what they want to hear, then you know what they go away saying? "Well, I sought counsel from the ministry. I sought counsel from the ministry," and this is, no. You were shopping for the answer you wanted. Folks, how long has it been since we've just come to the Lord and asked counsel of Him and say, "Lord, what do you want? How do you want me to live? What do you want me to do? What kind of attitude do you want me to have, Lord?" Rather than saying, "This is what I'm going to do it, and now, Lord, I pray that you would bless me." But saying, "Lord, I open myself. What do you want me to do?" Saul's life was changed. I want to read to you a story out of the Old Testament in the 9th chapter of Joshua about the children of Israel finding themselves in a position that they did not seek counsel from the Lord. In the 9th chapter of Acts, and just as a prerequisite to what had happened before this, the children of Israel had conquered the city of Jericho. God had done a wonderful work for them. And then, remember, they went out and they lost the battle of Ai to start with because they didn't seek God. There's some disobedience in the camp. Folks, if you're not having victory in your life, I want to tell you something, there's a reason for it. If you don't have victory this morning and you have problems just time after time, there's something wrong. Because Jesus came to do a complete work in our life and we need to come and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to change?" And they came after they took care of the disobedience. They went out and they conquered the people of Ai. So they have two victories under their belt and one failure. So let's begin reading in the third verse, the 9th chapter. It said, "When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up. and old shoes enclouded upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua, and they said, we be come from a far country, now therefore make ye a league with us. Now let's keep in mind what happened here. The men of Gibeon, they knew the children of Israel going out conquering. They didn't want to be conquered. They didn't want to be defeated. And so they took bread and they let it get moldy. And they put on some old ragged clothes and some old shoes with holes in it. And they came dragging down the trail. And they came to Joshua and said, we're from a far country. In other words, we're not in this land that you're supposed to possess. We're from a far country and we would like to make a league with you. Joshua made a league with these people from Gibeon. And in the 14th verse it said, the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. The children of Israel did not go to the Lord and say, God, what do you want us to do? But because of this, in their minds they understood the situation. In their mind, you've heard the little saying, if it looks like a duck, acts like a duck, quacks like a duck, waddles like a duck, it is a duck. You know, you say if it baths like a sheep and looks like a sheep and walks like a sheep, it's a sheep. And then you get cynical, and any time you say a sheep, you say it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's cynicism. There's a balance somewhere in their understand. But the people here of Israel, they saw these people of Gibeon coming, and they look like they've come a long journey. And so from an intellectual standpoint and from their perception, they weren't necessarily making an error. Because they were making a decision based on the facts as they saw them. But I want us to know this morning that, folks, things are not always as they seem. There are things that God sees in life that we're not always going to see and understand. The Lord knows what's going on behind the scenes in life. And they got in trouble because they asked not counsel of the Lord. Their instruction had been to go and conquer people of all nations. You know the reason for it? You know what one of the biggest problems of the children of Israel was through the Old Testament? You just read it. From prophet to prophet, they got in trouble because of who they got married to. You know that? You young people and children, listen up. Who you marry is going to affect, drastically change your life. And God had instructed the children of Israel, do not marry outside of your nation. He was not talking about race. He wasn't talking about color. He was talking about who they served. Don't marry people of other nations because they're idolaters. So I want you to marry people that believe in the God of Israel. And they didn't do it. And so when they went into Canaan land, the instruction was, go and conquer these people and kill them. Don't leave them there because I don't want you intermingling and getting married and making leagues with them. Do you know normally, all of us, it doesn't matter how strong of a personality you think you have, doesn't matter how strong you think you are, you get around someone long enough, you will be influenced. And young people, listen up now. It's a lie of the devil to think, well, I'm going to be a good influence on all of them. I'm the only one wanting to do right, and I make a league and a pact, and I spend all of my time with people that are out doing things they ought not to do. I want to tell you something. You will be affected by that. I would be affected by that because we're human, and we are influenced by the people that we choose to be around. And the children of Israel got in trouble because they made a league with them and they thought, we're still on top. We can handle this and these people of Gibeon will be our servants. I mean, who wouldn't like someone to go and carry your firewood for you? It's like, as long as I'm the one telling them where to get and where to set my wood, that would be nice. But the fact of the matter is you start looking at their daughters and, oh, they're pretty attractive. And you start marrying them, and pretty soon there's some alliances there, and they go off to worship their idol, and pretty soon I'm starting to be a little sympathetic to them, and pretty soon I'm not going to go worship with you, but here, honey, is a little extra money to go put in your offering box at your temple. of your false god. And, well, honey, we're having a grand opening. Would you come with me today? Well, I don't believe in your idol, but I'll just go with you since it's a special event. You know those special events? Y'all better be careful about them. I'll just go to a special event now. I'm not going to worship. I'm not going to do what's wrong. But pretty soon your affections have gone out. Does that story sound familiar? Sounds like Solomon too, doesn't it? We'll get there. But the facts, folks, it looked like we could control it. Want us to know that the devil is the father of what? Do we really believe that? The devil is the father of lies. He tries to deceive. He tries to change our perceptions of things. And the fact of the matter is, it was reality that their bread was moldy, their shoes were old. That was reality. It was true. Those were the facts. But there's something else at work. Folks, in our life, if you think you can control sin, it's a lie of the devil. If you think you can control things that are not holy in your life, and you are saved, and you think that, well, I can go there, and I can listen to that, and I can watch that, and it won't affect me, you're deceiving yourself. You do it long enough, you're going to be affected. You do it long enough, it's going to take your heart away from God. We need to come to the Lord, folks, and I want to challenge us this morning. In the daily decisions that we make, let's come and ask counsel of the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do this, or should I not? Instead of coming with the decision already made and making ourselves feel better because I prayed about it. And basically I was telling God what I was going to do. There are people that sometimes don't want to ask counsel because you children, it's easier to ask you than the adults. It applies to us too. Have you ever not wanted to ask your parents something because you already knew what the answer would be? I don't want to ask them because I know what they're going to say. You know what? Why are we afraid to ask God? Sometimes people are afraid to ask God because we already know what He's going to say. What should that tell us then about what we're doing? What should that, you know, it's relatively unimportant, folks, what I think about something this morning. Because I have my opinions and I value them just like you value yours. That's life. But you know what? My opinions won't get you to heaven and they won't get me to heaven. I'm going to have to come and say, Lord, I need some counsel. I need some advice. I need some instruction. I would that we'd be like Saul and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that the facts seem to be, you know, just like with Gibeon, the perception was that we can handle this. We can make a leak. But folks, it was the downfall of the children of Israel. I think about how I read about Samuel Baker. He was telling about a regiment that was in the Arabian desert. And there was a regiment there. They had an Arabian guide there, and there was a group of soldiers there. And they were going in the desert, and they, off in the distance, you know what they saw? They saw water. They were thirsty. They were going to die if they didn't get water. And off in the distance, they saw water. And the Arabian guide told them, he said, it's not water. He said, that's a mirage. It's the heat waves. Don't do that. And they argued with him. And he said, no, we cannot go that way. He said, it's not real. But they saw it. They knew it was right. There's water. You can just look at it and see. And they ended up killing their guide. And they ended up going mile after mile after mile. And guess what? Most of them died because of lack of water, because they always thought it was going to be just be over the next little hill, over the next little sand dune, just a little bit further. Folks, that's what the devil does, tries to do to us. He tries to make us think it looks attractive, and what we need is just over the, or I can make a league, or this thing will serve me. I'm not going to be under the control of it. I'm the one that's in charge, folks. The devil's stronger than all of us this morning. And the only way that we can be victorious this morning is when I recognize it is not in me to direct my path. I do not have the ability, I do not have within myself the power to overcome the enemy, except it be by Jesus Christ in my life. And if I want to maintain victory, then I'm going to have to start seeking some counsel. Folks, we don't have it all figured out. Every man's way is right where? In his own eyes. Is anybody here different than that? I mean, really, let's be honest about it now. Does anybody here really think that you don't have it figured out? Of course we think we do. Until we don't. Until we come to the place to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need some help. Lord, I don't want to get in trouble from the lies of the devil. The things of this world are vying hard for our affections, for our time. They're vying hard to take family time, to take time that we ought to be working for the Lord. There's so many things that are vying just to get us distracted, and we think that I'm on top and I'm controlling them. Who's controlling who? Lord, what do you want me to do? And then when the Lord tells us, He will always give us the grace to help us to follow through. They asked not counsel of the Lord. They were negligent. You know, there's a lot of free advice in the world. A lot of free advice. But I want to ask you something else. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to for your advice? You know, it seems like that people that aren't serving the Lord can tell everybody else how you ought to be doing right. If you really know how to do it, show me. You know how to have the right attitude? Show me. You know how the responsibility that we're to have in serving the Lord? Show me. Who are you listening to? Why would we go to the world to get advice to know? Why would we go to the world to get advice to know how to follow God? You want to live a life of victory, folks? We're going to find it right in here. So many times people say, well, I asked the Lord what He wanted, and the Lord's not talking to me. What is the Lord supposed to tell you if you already know what He said and is the Word of God and you're not willing to do it? What else do you want God to do? Because this is His Word. This is His way. There are people that, you know, I've heard this little saying about marriage counseling never works. I want to tell you the reason it doesn't work is because you don't want it to work. It's because you don't want to do what you're told. You want to know what good marriage advice? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. You don't think marriage advice will work? It won't work until you love your wife like Christ loved the church. You can go away saying it never did anybody good. No, you didn't want it to do any good. Wise, what are you supposed to do now? Some marriage advice now, sisters. Help me out. Reverence your husband. Obey him in when you feel like it. This isn't my words now. This is the counsel of the Lord. He said, obey Him in all things. Not just when it's convenient. Not just when you want to. You honor and respect and love and cherish. And a husband is not going to be controlling and I'm king of the roost here and you need to do this. No. He's going to be offering himself and giving of himself. And what makes my wife feel bad, then I'm going to make changes in my life. That will work in your marriage this morning. You don't think marriage advice works? It's if you don't want to do it. But this is what the Lord said. Ask counsel of the Lord. You want grace? We heard this morning. Avail yourself of it. Be willing to do what the Bible says. Who of us here does not want greater anointing in our life? I want greater anointing in my life. I want greater power in my life. How do I get it? Ask counsel of the Lord. And when the Lord comes along and says, Michael, I want you to do this. Oh, okay, Lord, I really want more anointing. And I just go on doing what I'm doing. Has the Lord talked to you? Has the Lord shown you something in your life that you really know it's what God's will is, but you're not quite willing to say, yes, Lord? Ask counsel of the Lord. There are people that come and ask counsel you've all had this happen. Someone asks you a question, and then they do all the talking. I remember a while back, someone asked me a question about something, and I sat there probably for an hour and listened to them. And after we got done, we left, I thought, well, I guess they really didn't want to know the answer because they were the one that did all the talk, and I thought they were wanting to know the answer. Let's not do that with God. We have all the ideas, our thoughts, our perceptions. It's the moldy bread. I'm in control, this and that. But say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? And every time when the Lord gives you an answer, He's going to give you the grace to follow through. He's going to give you the strength to do what He told you to do. Earthly decisions that we make, folks, have eternal outcomes. Get that? The Lord gave me that the other day. Earthly decisions that we make have eternal outcomes. Why would we not want to seek the counsel of the Lord? They say, Lord, I need some help here. You know the story of Solomon. Remember, the Lord came to Solomon. You can read it. You're on your own time. In the third chapter of 1 Kings, the Lord came to Solomon and He said, what would you like me to give to you? If the Lord came in this morning in the flesh, if Jesus came walking down the aisle and He just stopped, Vanessa, we'll start with you, just went through the congregation to each and every one of us and said, what do you want me to give to you? What would you say? Solomon said, I'm paraphrasing. Solomon said, I'm just as a child. I've been put in this place of responsibility to rule, and I'm just like a little child, and I don't know how to go in or come out. I don't know what to do, so God, would you give me wisdom? And God was pleased with that, and He said, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you more than ever has or ever will be. And on top of that, I'm going to go ahead and give you riches and all these other things. That's how I felt the other day when I was laying on the bed. And I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do. Does that make me less of a man? Does that make me less educated, less intelligent? No. Folks, this is where God wants us to come to work in our life. But you know the end of Solomon? Solomon was wise, but he got caught up in his own wisdom. And he made a league with women of other nations through marriage. And in his old age, his heart was turned away from God because of his wives. I do not have the wisdom of Solomon this morning. Anything that we have that is of eternal value is going to come from asking counsel of the Lord. And in our minds, when it seems to be different, recognize the enemy tries to deceive. He tries to pull the wool over our eyes. Even when I like to deal with facts. You know, looks like a duck, acts like a duck. Talk about facts. But guess what? We are in a spiritual warfare. And the devil does not fight fair. And the only way we are going to be able to make it, and that's not a defeatist statement, it's through the power of Jesus Christ and asking counsel of the Lord. It will work in our life. Lord, what do you want me to do? The Word of God, folks, will direct us and guide us. And I am thankful to say that God's way leads to life. It leads to victory. This will bring peace to your spirit when we fully do what Saul did on the road to Damascus and said, I'm going to quit fighting. I'm going to quit relying on my own ideas and perceptions. Lord, what would you have me to do? Are we strong enough this morning to stop? Wherever you are in your walk with God, are we strong enough to stop this morning and ask counsel of the Lord? You know, I know there are problems that we all face in life. Have we just really stopped and said, Lord, how do you want me to respond to this? You know, I found that God doesn't always want me to respond like I feel like responding. The other day I felt in the flesh like responding in a way to a situation I knew the Lord didn't want me to. And He gave me grace not to. But you know what? A lot of times we know the answer. But let's stop. Would you have me to go there? Well, I can handle it. That's not what I asked. Have you asked the Lord if He's really pleased with going to places you've been going? Doing the things you've been doing? Responding the way you've been responding? Lord, what would you have me to do? Let's ask counsel of the Lord. You pray for me because I do not know how to go out or to come in my own wisdom, and I am desperately in need for direction from the Holy Spirit in my life.